Hey you, welcome back to another episode of Impressions, your backstage pass to the ever-evolving world of digital marketing in Africa. Today, we're taking a fresh look at social media marketing, a vital but often underappreciated arm of marketing. While going viral and getting 1,000 likes can be exciting, there's more to driving sustainable social media growth. And in this episode, we highlight how to utilize social media, not just as an awareness channel, but as a core growth engine for your product or business, while also making super fans out of your audience. And to guide us at Joshua Wolabi, a social media growth specialist with over 5 years of experience driving social media growth across companies like Nestcoin, OP, and many others, alongside Peace Obinani, head of online marketing at Piggyvest, with experience driving social growth and building communities across companies. So if you're looking to kickstart your social media career or grow in the industry, this episode is packed with insights you don't want to miss. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy this one from me to you. I'm Thera, your host for this season. Let's dive in. I hope you guys are having good days and you guys have had a good week. I hope so. Let's just kind of jump into it. Peace, having worked in social media marketing, online marketing for a while, I see you currently lead online marketing at Piggyvest. I'd like to know what is one misconception that keeps coming up and up and up about social media growth or people that work in social media growth, something you've experienced dealing with either stakeholders or just other parties, members of teams or stuff. What's one reoccurring misconception that you've experienced that you always have to debunk?
Misconception. I think the most popular one is that, you know, social media is easy. Anybody can do it. And it's like misconception both on the part of the people that are hiring and the people that are being hired, right? So anybody thinks that he can do the job. So there's a mismatch or a gap, sort of. Every time that I've had to hire for a social media person, it's always like the most stressful hire because it's the role that gets the highest number of applicants and it takes the most time to filter through the applicants because everybody just thinks, oh, social media, I can do it. And then you are now wondering, like, did you read the JD? Do you know, what you're coming here to do and whatnot? So there is some gap somewhere between the expectations, what the role is about and all of that. And yeah, I mean, because it's easy also, people just, anybody within the company thinks that you can do your job. Sometimes it's not prioritized. So in terms of like, you know, informing social media teams or marketing teams, for instance, what's happening with the product and everything, it just sometimes feels like, you know, you are marginalized or it's like an afterthought in the product creation or product implementation process. Yeah.
Okay, I get that. I think I've worked in social media also and definitely get that. But just to follow up on that, is do you think the way social media marketers or growth people are treated, does it have any relationship with the results that is being driven at company levels? And is it thing of they don't just feel their impact and that's the way they are regarded like that? Or it's just, even if you're delivering, it's just the way it is generally, like the perception?
I think the perception, right? There are companies, so I would not like to generalize.
Yeah.
For instance, so because my company values like social media because...
Yeah, this is the impact.
Yeah, so our growth is largely social media. But for some companies or newer companies that expect you to perform magic in your first few days at work, right? There might be that perception because, you know, social media growth is not an overnight job, right? So it takes people that really understand to get it that, okay, these people are actually working. That content that you put out today that got one like could, you know, become something in the future or just like be the base or the foundation of what is to come in your social media growth. And also because sometimes you cannot measure everything about social media, right? Not everything is trackable, not everything is measurable. So sometimes it's difficult to, you know, draw the line between your day-to-day or what you did as a social media or what you're putting out to the company's growth, right? So
yeah,
also that issue, right? But I think overall, right, it's on the teams to just make sure that, you know, you're documenting, you're tracking what can be tracked, you're measuring what can be measured, and advocating for your role and your job pretty much. And also just sometimes these people don't know, and it's like a honest mistake, really. They don't understand it. So stakeholder management comes into play and all of that.
Absolutely. I think you've actually wrapped everything I think about that up. It kind of covers up a lot of things. If you worked on social media long enough, you kind of understand where she's coming from. So I definitely get that. Joshua, do you have anything to share around that? Or do we move on to the next question and just kick the episode up?
Oh, for misconception, I think one of the things that like everybody kind of like generalize when it comes to social media marketers or social media managers is that because you're a social media manager, you should be able to design, you know, you should be able to shoot videos, you should be able to edit videos, you should be able to do basically everything across marketing, like putting out a content. You should be a content creator too. You know, like all those things, like they just expect because you're a social media manager, you're always on social media, so you should be able to do everything. And I am one of those people that I am proud to say that I have never designed one piece for any business or brand before, because like I always tell them from the get-go that I don't know how to design. Like, oh, but it's Canva. Canva is not hard. I know it's not difficult, but me, I can't. Like, it's not possible.
Sound like you're talking from a place of privilege. Maybe people who are still like early newbies, they probably have to like, hey, okay, I have to get all the skills. It's like you're probably a senior person, and that's why like you have the luxury of, okay, I'm not going to do this. Like,
no, bro, no, actually, like for you, like it's not even a matter of being a senior person or being there for a long time. Even when I started, and my first career work as a social media person was at OP. I told them from the get-go, I don't know how to design. The man was like, oh, can you design? I can't design. It's not possible because, like, I took courses. I know so many things, like, I had to go through. And there was no part where I was told I have to design. The only thing I was told is I have to understand how social media platform works and how the business can leverage it, not how you should design. And again, I'm also, like, a big fan of having other eyes come into your thought process. You know, like you can think in your head that, oh, this content is like the best. It's, in fact, once we design it and we put it out like this, it's going to be it back to back. And then you can just talk to a designer and tell the graphics guy that, oh, I thought about this content and I think we should do it this way. And he'll just tell you, no, why can't we just go through this direction? And then everything just makes sense, right? So if you are the only person that is coming up with the idea, executing the idea, implementing the idea, even when you are wrong, Even when you are wrong, there is nobody to call your attention to it, because in your head, like, that's the best thing ever, right? So I've always been that way. So in case there's anybody listening and they're just starting out, I will advise you. Yes, Nigeria is hard. I agree. But I will advise you, if you want to major in social media, and know what you are doing. Don't say, I can do this, I can do that. Because by the time you now start it, you might not be able to keep up. And then the graphic designer is different from a social media manager. A social media manager is different from a photographer. A photographer is different from a video person. So you just need to like major in one place and stay there. Don't go and be putting your hand in places that you cannot be able to match up. And I feel like those are like the misconceptions I feel like I should address.
Yeah, I definitely get that. Yeah, people expect social media people to do more than just what they're doing. Like social media is a marketing channel, and there's a lot that goes into actually making a success of it. And trying to add more workload kind of reduces the level of creativity or intentionality that goes on into implementing something. So yeah, I definitely get that. So pace back to you. Let's talk about frameworks and how you think about social media growth for companies. What is a framework that has worked for you? Let's say you're starting out at a new company. What is a framework that you live by that eventually helps you produce successful social media or helps you lead social media teams to success? What's a framework that has worked for you?
Okay. I mean, there are quite a number of frameworks, especially if you've, you know, taken a social media course or something. You know, there's the theoretical part of, you know, social media management, and then there's the reality, which is, you know, especially if you're working with a Nigerian brand or a Nigerian audience, right? But overall, I just think that it starts with the basics, right? Understanding your audience, understanding your product or what it is you're, you know, supposed to do, understanding your KPIs and everything, just basic groundwork, right? Just set the, just don't just, you know, go into it. That's like my number one rule, right? So understand the audience, understand, you know, your expectations in that role, understand what your product, right? I always say that you can't market what you don't know, right? So if you don't understand what you're selling or what you're telling people to come and use, then there's really no point. Yeah, so understand that, and then just take some time to ideate like strategies, right? To ideate strategies. What do you want to do? How do you want to achieve it? So you have goals, right? How do you meet those goals? What channels do you want to use, right? So, and it's also very important to be flexible with these things because social media is a very dynamic space and a lot of things will take you by surprise despite, you know, planning and everything. So it's just important to be flexible and know when to, you know, double down or when to just back off when something is working or when something is not working, or know when to, you know, iterate, go back to the drawing board and stuff, and, you know where to invest. So investing in the right channels, right? Investing in, you know, growing your teams as well, growing, you know, your content. So for instance, at PDVest, we didn't have a full-blown content team until like 2 years ago, last year, 2 years ago, actually, right? So we saw, okay, everybody, content is king, all of that. I mean, not every business can afford to do that, but it just shows that, okay, you have identified that this is somewhere worth investing in. So we thought to invest in a content team. So hired content writers, content marketers, you know, animators and everything. So that was now a full-blown department on its own. So yeah, this is like the part where you just know, you know, when to invest, even down to your ads, right? Which ads, which channels convert the most for you and all of all those things. So you're not just running ads across all platforms and, you know, burning money that you most likely don't have enough of, right? What again? Yeah, building communities. So is very important, and it will help your life greatly as a social media manager, because at the end of the day, you don't just want to be putting out content and nobody's relating to it, or, you know, nobody just gets it.
When you say building communities, what does that mean?
Okay, so communities, right, is really just, sometimes people just, when they hear building communities, they think you have to go somewhere and build a community and gather people together, right? So that they don't feel like you're talking at them. They feel like you get them, like the person behind this, you know, post or this page is a human being, and you know, they're in touch with what's happening today. They are very, you know, like they feel like there's just somebody there. It's not like you have your content calendar for the week and then on Friday the entire country is talking about something different.
It's not live. And then you are just here like, oh, okay.
You are not, you know, in touch with your audience. You are just, you are not reading the room. So all of those things. So I think that that's like actually what builds a sense of community, and not just, you know, having everybody in one space and all of that. That is great as well. But you can also build your community off your, you know, regular channels. Okay. What else is there? I mean, just for theoretical sake, right, there's the reach framework, there's the talking framework as well. So all of these frameworks pretty much just talk about the same thing, right? First of all, understand your audience, your goals, your KPIs, invest and, you know, build your communities, engage, know what converts, because at the end of the day, you don't just want to be putting out stuff not, you know, converting. So conversion can mean different things for different, you know, brands and companies. So knowing what your goals are and making sure that you are meeting those goals, that is what like a typical framework should embody.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing, or what I've picked from what you've said, is at the core of it, your social media strategy, growth strategy, or whatever it is highly dependent on understanding your users and the product. This seems to be something that is recurrent with, I spoke to even Daniel from PiggyVest, and it seems to be a recurring theme. The users are just at the core of it, and also understanding your product. And then that can define how you measure, what you measure, what you actually need to drive at, understanding the business actually aids knowing what your role is as a social media person or a social media growth person. Where are you coming in to aid this business and how exactly do you want to do that? So thank you so much for sharing that. Joshua, he had spoken about how social media keeps evolving and there's always something new. And I was going to ask how you keep up with the ever-changing or ever-evolving industry as a social media growth person. I'm sure the time you entered this industry is not the same way it is right now. So how do you keep up or how do you stay relevant?
For me, I would say that one of the things that you have to do as a social media person, or like one of like the major stuff to have, is being open-minded. And that's because there's a lot that is like going on every day. You know, you can wake up tomorrow and then there is no more Jack Dorsey as Twitter CEO. There is Elon Musk as Twitter CEO. And with Elon Musk being Twitter CEO, there is monetization of your content. And now everybody's just creating anything just so they can like get a bit of the pie, right? So you as a social media manager, you're supposed to be open-minded to all these changes, stay up to date with the trend and technologies. You know, like
So how do you stay up to date particularly?
Yeah, so like I remember when we started writing CVs, trying to apply for jobs, we always put it as part of like the things that we know how to do, like you say, stay updated with trends and technology. But then that's just like buzzwords, right? So
yeah.
One of the things that kind of like helped me so much is I try my best to like, you know, like check up on trends every other day. Like I read up on everything that is happening all around the world. Today I can be on Apple Instagram, or I can be on maybe Google Pixel Twitter page tomorrow, just to see the kind of content they are creating and how these contents are being like accepted, right? As much as I try to say that sometimes we always think that the audience that we are trying to target is just Nigeria, because I was working in Nigeria at least, and then we were targeting Nigerian audience because those are like the customers, right? But then there are some kind of content that has been created somewhere that if you look at how it is being created and how it is being accepted there, if you add a little bit of maybe local preference to it, it can work in your own with your own audience, right?
Yeah, same reverse engineering other.
Yeah, it can work in your own with your own audience, and then you know it goes like that. And again, there are also like new platforms. So once upon a time there was TikTok, but people didn't even understand how brand and businesses can leverage TikTok. But now, like, everybody's on TikTok, practically not dancing, but at least, like, doing something really worthwhile for the business. So if, as a social media manager, you don't know how to use TikTok, because in your own mind, you thought TikTok is just for you to come and dance or to come and post music video or something, then you're going to have issues, like, fitting in. You know, like, I was surprised when some people said, oh, you can use Snapchat for ads. And I'm like, oh, Snapchat is just that place where you just share filter. You just see filter. You turn yourself to something else and all of this. So are you using it for ads? Then that is the job of you as a social media manager. You have to be open-minded to like new platforms coming in and then seeing how those platforms can be used by your business to, you know, reach new audiences, because people are everywhere. Like somebody said, there are a lot of content now. So customers don't even have time. People don't even have time to sit down and look at one content for so long. They are already leaving Twitter and going to Instagram, from Instagram to TikTok, from TikTok to... They are just going everywhere. So you have to like target them in all of those places. So that's like something that I'm going to say. Stay open-minded and keep on checking trends and technology every day. And I think you'll be fine.
Yep. Okay, so we'll just move on to the next one. Let's talk about the thing that everyone is talking about, AI, and how AI is going to take everyone's job. So I make this recurring question with most episodes I record, because like everyone feels like, oh yeah, their job is threatened by AI and all of that. What's your take on this? What's your perception on how AI and its impact on social media growth marketing, online marketing, what's your impact? What's your thought on that?
Well, I mean, since, you know, people have been saying this, I've always said that AI is not going to take my own job, sure. AI is AI, and I mean, I have, you know, everybody asks this question, so I think I've answered it a lot of times already. So,
yeah.
First up, AI is not even new. Like, it's not a new thing. It just all of a sudden had PR, and everybody's now, you know, scared and worried. There's AI literally everywhere in technology.
Yeah, I think with the launch of ChatGPT becoming more mainstream made it more obvious in people's faces. Typically, people have been using other tools that were like machine learning, like inspired and all of that. But like, yeah, with ChatGPT being more mainstream, everyone's now like, oh yeah, this is more mainstream than I thought, and it's actually affecting me. And everybody's like, oh, okay.
Don't think it's affecting. I've not seen. Yes, there's AI. It's really just to embrace it and, you know, take advantage of it, make your life easy, right? It has made my life easier, right? So I use it when I need to. And I mean, there's what you have that AI doesn't have, right? It's how, you know, back in the days, manufacturing companies did not have, you know, the kind of machinery or the kind of equipment that they have now. They are still factory workers. This, you know, industrial equipment still exists. Everybody even though they work hand in hand to produce whatever it is that we use today. Nobody, you know, go worry that machines are going to take the job of factory workers, right? It just helps, makes life easier.
In the sense of, you said AI makes your work easier, right? Like, what aspect of your job does that actually make easier, more efficient and stuff? And
okay, yeah, so
don't you think that is actually going to take those people's job? Like those low level jobs of, oh, like I need to come up with, oh, yeah, I don't know, but no, don't you think that it actually takes those people's jobs? Don't mind me, I'm just teasing, but yeah, I just want to know what specifically it kind of helps with.
AI can be your what's it called? If you need to bounce off ideas with somebody and you know there's really nobody in sight or something, you can just like, yo, what do you think about this really? Right. So it's really that. Well, that's how I use it, right? Or sometimes I have all the ideas in my head and taking time to write it down is a problem for me, right? Because I have like 1,001 things that I want to do and I just put in like as detailed enough prompt as I can and, you know, like, oh, generate a one-pager document that I can share with, you know, this is what I'm trying to say, right? And it does that and I get like multiple versions and I just, you know, take time to edit it and have my document ready to go. So it's really just that, right? So, I mean, it will not take the creative process from you, right? That one, I'm very sure, because I don't think it has the nuance to create stuff for like different markets or different, like it will just be very, it still feels very robotic in a way, right? If they give you like a campaign idea that is fully AI, you will know. So that's why I'm like, at least for now, from what I have seen, it's best to just like embrace it
and just use it to actually increase or improve your own efficiency. Yeah, I definitely do agree. Joshua, I'm going to come back to you with this question because you spoke about not doing certain works as a social media growth person while starting out your career, saying, no, I'm not going to do graphic design, I'm not going to be this person. How have you now been able to navigate your career growth? And I'm asking this in the sense of, do you think skills like content marketing, paid ads, digital analytics is required to actually grow to certain levels in the industry? How useful do you think are those additional skills to help you navigate the industry or grow as a social media growth person?
Okay, so honestly, as a social media person, there is just a lot that you have to do. And like Peace mentioned earlier, everybody believes they can be social media manager. And that's the reason why when you see social media roles, you see 100 people have applied. How? Like, how is 100 people applying for this job? Did you even read the job description? Like, did you even know what you're going to be doing? But because, like, it's just a general misconception that, oh, because I can press phone. Oh, because I'm Gen Z, so I'm a social media manager. Like, anybody can just slap social media or whatever on their profile. Now, you that are coming across it as a business or as a CEO or something, you're thinking, oh, because they did one trend like that, the trend, rest in peace, Mobad, and they have like 10,000 followers, then they are social media managers automatically. forgetting that people just jump on some trend sometimes, and then, you know, because of it is the heat of the moment, they can blow out of proportion. One tweet can just go viral. Even you, when they ask you, ah, what's the secret of your success? You can't even say it because you don't know what you even did. But then, as a social media manager, that is what distinct you. That is what makes you different, because now you have to like check your performance, you know, check your content. Peace mentioned you can create a content like in your mind it is going to bang, and then 1 minute you are seeing one like, and like, ah, what happened? What went wrong? So that's the job of a social media manager. There are a lot of skills that a social media manager is expected to have. It's not just posting.
So what kind of skills are you referring to?
Data analysis, not the deeper part of the data analysis. So you don't say, oh, they're trying to switch your role. No. Every social media platform has an insights page. Facebook has, Instagram has, TikTok, everybody has, Twitter has. Now, you as a social media manager, you're expected to know how to measure the performance of your content.
So you're talking about basic reporting.
So like basic reporting that you have to do. So there are some companies or there are some businesses that will tell you, oh, we need reports every 7 days. There are some that will tell you, we need report every 3 days, depending on what you guys are doing. Some will say it's at the end of the month. But what me I used to tell people is, don't wait till like they tell you, send in your report. You should check your report yourself, because you don't want to also waste effort. That's one thing. Another thing is that you need to also understand is creating content. Like content distribution is key. Creating content is different. Content distribution is different.
I love that, because in the content marketing episode, we spoke about how content is king, but content distribution is queen. Like,
exactly.
You can create content and it could just collect dust, but you want to create content that is actually found.
Exactly. So yeah, like content distribution is way different from content creation. So it goes beyond just saying, oh, I've created this content, it's like the best in the world. Where are you putting it? Are you posting Twitter content on Instagram and expecting it to be seen? Or Instagram is telling you Reels is what you're prioritizing, but you are still posting images. Why? You know, like, there is a content that is supposed to go on Medium, but you're posting it on LinkedIn because you believe that LinkedIn has article feature. What if it is not for that audience, right? So, like, that is also, like, a skill that social media manager is expected to have.
So platform understanding.
Yeah, like, proper understanding of content. Because at the end of the day, like, you can't be a social media manager and not understand how content is being done or where it should go to. Another one that you also need to know. Yeah, I can't design. But you should have a very good eye for design. You should not, your graphic designer should not tell you, I have 10 years in graphics, and they just give you something and they say, take, run with it. And you should just be like, ah, I can't say anything. You are the king. No, you are not the king. Tell them, ah, this is your thing that you design like this. They are not going to accept you. I'm going to put it to. So you let them understand, because you can also like tell them based on insights, based on the things that you have measured in the past, and tell them that, oh, the last time we posted something like this, this is how it went. I think you should change the font. I think you should do it. It is necessary for you to know it. And that's the reason why I keep saying that it is not your job to be everywhere. I can take pictures. That's your personal skill. It's fine. But don't tell them that you can do everything. They are going to cut the budget on spending on other people. Now, what makes sense is everybody should eat. The bread should circulate on the table. Not like only you are collecting all the bread. You can't do everything. Yeah. So let them like share it out and say, oh, see, I understand that you want to cut budgets. I mean, you might not say it that way so that they won't say you are disrespectful, but you can tell them that, see, this is what I think. I can't design right. Not like I can't design, but I have good eye for design. But I feel like it is very good if we have a team. So they tell you if, because at the end of the day, what if they tell you, okay, don't worry, you are the head of design or you are the head of social media, and then you get there, there is no other person you are working with, you are the only person. And then they keep telling you, we are bringing somebody, and they are not bringing anybody, right? So you
Man,
keep
you
doing...
like you're speaking from experience.
Yeah, it's experience. You keep doing everything.
Man, who showed you shit like that?
You keep doing everything, hoping that somebody is coming to come and take like the stuff off your head and do something else. You know, like content writing is also another thing. Another part, again, that I think...
How about marketing, like advertising, paid ads and all of that? Do you think it's relevant?
Paid ads is also like good. But then now we have like people that's like their major. They are into performance marketing. You can still support them and tell them that, oh, my audience, I feel like my audience are here. So if you can help me target them so that they don't also lose out on this particular campaign that we're trying to do. You know, like there are so many things. Yeah. Then there's also the community building, like Peace mentioned. Community building, community management, those are like very important skills for a social media manager, because as you are a social media manager and you are creating business pages, you can also like build communities for these businesses. Communities are like gold mine that a lot of people don't have idea of how to like, you know, like make use of them for the businesses. So because of that, they just like ignore them. I'm not a community manager. No, you're a community manager. You're also a social media manager. Because at the end of the day, these platforms that you're seeing, Twitter, Instagram, everything, they're all communities.
What do you think is the difference between community managers and social media marketers?
So I'll say as social media marketers, you might not really like develop this personal, let me say like this community-based rapport with your audience, because the audience is like everywhere. But then in community, mm-hmm. everybody's in one particular village. And as the village chief, you should know what is going on within your community. If there are thieves that are coming to rob in the night, you know when to take them out. If they are like you can see everybody in that confined space. You can bring them perks. You can bring them benefits to show them that the reason why we have you in this community is because we want you to be the first to enjoy these perks and benefit from us, right? Okay. But social media is more like I live in East Riding, Yorkshire. Now, right? Social media is like East Riding, Yorkshire, whereas communities like Kingston upon all. That is, we are all living in that particular community. Everybody knows everybody. Like I can say, this is who the mayor, this is who this person is. But in East Riding of Yorkshire, I don't even know who is there. Right? Now, then somebody can just come and say they are targeting everybody. Do you understand? That's social media. But in community, like, it's just a confined space. Put everybody there. Make sure they enjoy benefits. Listen to their concerns. You can also, like, go ahead and turn them to, like, brand evangelists. They can enjoy perks to the extent that they can bring people. You can use them for so many things, right? So there's a difference between them. But then, as a social media manager, I expect that you also have that skill. You develop that skill of being a community manager so that you can help your businesses, like, you can help businesses to like build community from scratch and help community members to enjoy benefits that they even know, like they have no idea of at all.
Yeah, I definitely get that. I think in a way, most social media marketers can be community managers, but not all community managers can be social media marketers.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So, Pierce, let's talk about metrics, ROI. Beyond vanity metrics like followers and likes, what other metrics, tools, and analytical platforms do you use to track and measure the success of your social media strategies?
Okay. I mean, each campaign will typically have its own, mm-hmm. you know, goal. There are campaigns that are not to convert, right? It's pretty much just brand awareness campaigns, right? So how do you want to measure that? So are you looking to trend? That's a metric right there. Like, if your goal was to trend and you trended, you hit the goal, right? So even if it doesn't bring one customer for you, that was the goal that you set out to achieve. So there are other metrics to track, because social media is like an arm of online branding. So you're looking at things like your brand sentiment, your brand's share of voice, right? How much of the market share does your own brand have, right? How likely are people to use your brand or your products because of how active or your presence online is, right? So that's pretty much like what share voice is and your brand sentiment analysis. So these are all like brand metrics that you can track that is beyond the likes and everything. So it's how you also know that, you know, beyond the likes, so people knowing you, they actually... they are feeling you, right? So would they refer you to their friends, or, you know, do they trust you enough? Do they, you know, talk about your products? So, you know, there's social listening as well. So you are listening to how people talk about your brand or your product outside of the times when they need to reach out to you for a complaint or something, right? So these are like things that you can look out for.
Yeah.
Again, right? There are tons of metrics, both trackable and untrackable. They are the ones that you just know, oh, this went well. And it's really not like, it's just what it is, right? So you track what you can track pretty much and, you know, use heuristics and just general knowledge to know if something performed well.
Okay. And in terms of like having tracking and all of that, it's collecting data, right? So after collecting this data, where do we go from there? What do we do with it in terms of social media impact and like your strategy impact? What do we do with it from there?
Yeah, so collecting data is great. So, I mean, that also just gives you an insight to what's working, what's not, and what you should do more of, what your audience likes as well, like what you want to see more of, so that you're not investing time and resources into something that your audience doesn't really care about, right? Sometimes it's just like the most mundane things that would convert for you. So that's where data really comes to play, right? So I'm sure that every social media person can relate. Sometimes it's the content you expect to list perform that just does like, oh wow, this is what people actually like. Okay, then give the people what they want. That's pretty much it.
Thank you. Joshua, let's talk about case studies. Having worked with different companies, what do you think has been one of your social media experimentation outfield? One that you were so sure that, oh, this strategy should have worked well, and it came out like, it didn't work as well as I did. And how have you been able to like move past that, or like how that has like informed going forward social media growth thinking and all of that?
I think because of how I started out in social media, I was working with a team of guys that everything to them is strategy, strategy, strategy. It works, it doesn't work, nobody cares, we'll just do another strategy. Like, we always like use one strategy to cancel another strategy. And, you know, like, we kept on going like that. We could have, like, strategy meetings, like, twice in a week. The last one that we did, it did not do well. It's fine. Let's do another one. Then we do another one. I'll keep going, right? So those are, like, the stuff that I have lived by up to today. I don't even brood over strategies or...
Yeah, but what has been, like, one experimentation that you tried that you were sure that would work, like, oh, did you think that, if we roll this out in this way or in this particular way, it should work, and then it just didn't work and stuff. And like, since then, you just know that, maybe in this way, if I'm trying to implement this way based on what I've learned previously, I just know how to do it better. So like, what's one fail that, I mean, people talk about successes a lot. So
it won't be bad to talk about the failure too. I remember joining a particular company, and then I was working with like a team of social media managers. And I was also like a part of the team. It's not like I was head of anything or something like that. So when I came in, the business vertical I was working on, I told them how they were into food. So I told them how we could use influencer marketing to like, you know, like get into like people, because food is like very relatable. Everybody wants to eat. So you can't just be blowing it out and say, oh, come and order food. What if we make use of influencer marketing? So we make use of influencer marketing, and then it kind of worked out, you know, like, it spiked up the number of orders they get, you know, like we're able to like have a partnership with the riding vertical, business vertical of the same business, right? So like have a very good partnership whereby when you order food, it is that ride that will come and drop the food for you. So we kind of like cut cost of delivery, right? Like we cut it down. So at least that way the money is still within the system, something like that. So there's this other social media guy that saw what was being done. It isn't my own strategy alone. I mean, I just thought about the influencer marketing side. You know, like some other guys just said, let's just put the money in the business. So let's do partnership, let's do this, let's do that. So he thought that, it was just influencer marketing. Without like coming up with what do we want to gain if we do influencer marketing, how much are we spending, what are we expecting to get back? You know, all those things. He didn't have all of that. He just straight up just like, let's do it. Because he worked with these guys, he can work with us. And, as it will go, it did not go well. And as it didn't go well, you know, like, the guy came back and he was like, what happened? Like, I noticed that I did this stuff. We did not even see anything. Now, like, they are telling me that my strategy does not make sense. I did not give it a thought, blah, blah, blah. And we wasted money, right? Because there was money to spend on budget and all of that. Anyway, at the end of the day, right, I had to tell him that, see, this thing is not just about you thinking and saying this is how it should go, then it is going to go that way. It won't go that way. There is the part of algorithm, there is the part of platforms, there is the part of audience. There's a lot.
There's a part of understanding your business.
Exactly. The business itself, too. You need to also understand the business and what you need to achieve from this campaign that you're trying to do. that has been like my own watchword. Create strategies, and at the end of everything, try to implement. And when you implement, try to measure the performance of every strategy that you have done, every implementation that you have done, every execution that you have done. Measure it. Look at what is happening. Don't be scared of the failure. At least you are making progress in that way. Don't be scared of a failure that, I don't want to see the numbers. Oh, it's just 3 likes. Oh, it's just 3 shares. Oh, we did Twitter spaces and nobody joined. Don't worry. You do another strategy
Yeah.
to cancel that one. And like, you keep on doing it like that for the rest of your life.
Man, how many strategies have you created in the whole of your career? It sounds like you're always creating
I don't
strategies.
know, because I still have strategy like this. And I've not done, I've not made it of it. So,
Mr. Strategy,
yeah.
thank you for
Yeah.
sharing that piece. You spoke about setting up content teams and social media teams, and I'm trying to go further and understand, like, when setting up content or social media teams, how does one think around it to set up teams for success, equip them for success? And in terms of hiring, what skill sets do you look out for that would be advantageous to anyone looking to set up their social media?
I think the first thing would just be to know what you want, right? Know what exactly you're hiring for. Understand the stage of your business or the growth phase that you're currently in, and know the exact roles that you need, right? So that you don't hire people that will become redundant or frustrate you because what you want and what they are delivering is not a match, and it's not as if they are not doing their job. It's not just for the phase of your growth at the moment. So I think it's very important that, recruiters or founders or whoever is hiring just has an understanding. I've spoken to people that, oh, they just want a social media manager. What do you want a social media manager to do for you? What does success look like in this role? And they don't know, right? So you can already see that that's like bound to fail, because this social media person will come and it's like you set them up for failure from the jump. Yeah, I think it's just important to know that. And then when hiring, it's also important that you hire people that their skills will complement each other, right? Like the same way you will not hire somebody to do everything. If you know, oh, this person has an eye for design or has an eye for detail, is good with documenting and analytics, right? It's great. And you know, okay, there's this other person that is kind of like a spur of the moment person, right? The person would be able to take risk, while the calculated person, might just be coy about it and wants to do all the calculation and everything. You can tell that, okay, there's just going to be a balance in the teams, right? So that's my own approach, right? So I have people that are very calculated, make calculated decisions like that, so you know where to place those kind of people in strategy and stuff, and you can place the other people, like at the forefront, so that they can jump on spur of the moment things like trends and all those kind of things. So it's just very important to create that balance in your teams, right? So that you don't have clones of the same kind of people on your teams, and that, or they have the same kind of ideas. There's nothing fresh, like, so it's always good to have like people that will always like have fresh perspectives or insights on different things, and everybody's just contributing their own quota to the work. And yeah, they complement each other, and there's culture fit, right? There are people that they are great, and I just can't hire them because I know that when they come, it's going to be a clash with the people that are already existing on this team. They will not just be, they will either fight or beat themselves up, right? So, yeah, those are like things to also look out for.
Yeah. Joshua, so let's just go to the semi-final question. If you were to start your career all over again, would you go about it the same way? Would you do things differently? If you would do things differently, what would you do differently? If you wouldn't, then how would you advise people who are just starting out to navigate the industry, either as a newbie or someone already in the industry? Now, yeah, what has worked for you, or what do you think is a way that you think people should think about navigating the industry?
I think things are different now. When we started, it was more like trial and error. And I remember getting my first job off the fact that I had like 10,000 followers on my Twitter. Then I don't even know how I had 10,000 followers. I just know that we're doing Aproko a lot on Twitter then. So, and then, like the recruiter was like, oh, for you to have 10,000 followers, that means you're a fantastic social media manager. I don't even know what I was doing. So, but like, I got the job off that. But now today, I don't think that is like enough exactly to convince anybody. Well, there are still some people that are still like vanity metric inspired.
Driven.
Like, for you to even have like 1.5 million impression on your tweet, on that tweet, you know what you are doing. You probably don't know what you are doing. Yeah, so there are still some people. But then, like, if I have to like start all over again today, one thing that I always tell people is, there are like skills that you need to learn. Yeah, social media marketing, social media management skills, yes. But you should know how to write your own CV. If you know how to write your own CV, it kind of like puts you ahead, because you can be able to like look at job descriptions and know, like tweak it on your own CV yourself. You also want to have a portfolio. So when I started, I had no portfolio. There's nothing like that. Like, I had no body of work, even though I could like point and say, I did this, I did this, I did this. But now you need to like have a body of work, no matter how small it is. Even if it's just one page, two pages, just show them like, this is what I've done. These are many content I've created. These are like the links, right? So like I said, things are different now. A lot of people are still having that misconception that they can do social media. So you are going to be fighting against those people to land that job. So you need to like put yourself ahead of them, like make your recruiters be wild, even though you are not there to prove to them that you are better. Make them be wild when they come across your application, right? And another thing that I think I would also do differently is that I'm going to take time to like learn more, learn more every day about social media marketing. I remember like starting out and then like I wowed them. Like I said, it was more like just trial and error. So the ones that were successful,
there was more grace. Yeah, at that so like for people to
exactly.
Fail.
So a lot of people just this guy is good. This guy is fantastic. But honestly, like I didn't know what I was doing, but I just knew that I was bringing results. But now that I know what I am doing, I want to also like have like informed trials. Not like I just wake up today and just say, let's sell this thing in this way, and then it just makes sense, and they be like, that's good. And that's probably not good.
But tomorrow you try it again. Actually,
exactly. So now that is not even good, because you're not going to see where the failure is. So now I just want to like make informed decisions that I'm very sure that, okay, if I do this and it fails, I know that, okay, it failed. Now, why did it fail? Like, I have to like double check everything now. So for anybody that is listening to this, for anybody that is just starting out in social media, honestly, you have a lot to cover now, because you have a lot of people to fight for when it comes to that same role, right? So you have to put yourself ahead at all times. You know, learn, keep on learning, continue learning, join communities, join as many as possible stuff. I'm not a big fan of mentorship, but if you can find one, good. But if you can't, you can mentor yourself, and at the end of the day, I think you'll be fine.
For you, what would you say has worked for you in navigating the industry at this level? I feel like there are levels of growth where you can't do it on your own. For some people, they find communities. Some people, they find resources that are just helpful in taking them to the next level of growth beyond entry-level roles. What do you think has worked for you?
What has worked for me is that every time I've gotten a job, I put in my best. Like, I put in my best to the extent that my impact is felt. So when I'm trying to get another job, I have people that can vouch for me. I have people that can say, I know this guy, he did his bit, he did his best, right? So you make sure that your impact is felt wherever you find yourself working. Then apart from that, you also like apply, like keep applying, keep reaching out to different people. I have gotten a job out of me trying to reach out to HR of different tech companies, fintech companies, and then I got a job through that. You know, like one of them just reached out and said, how do you know we're hiring? I don't know that you're hiring. I was just reaching out. And they were like, let's have a talk. And from there, I got the job. Was there for over a year. It was one of like my best jobs, right? So that is the way I've always been able to navigate the industry. I just sit down and look at myself and be like, what are we doing? What next? Which industry do I want to? Which field do I want to find myself? Which part of tech do I want to go? And then before I know what's up, I already like start looking for how I can get into that industry, who I can talk to. I can even send code emails to CEOs and tell them I'm looking for a new opportunity, this and that. And before I know it.
So your own approach has been code emailing and mostly,
Just reach out to as many as possible people if you can. Whenever you get the job, let your impact be felt. Don't hide in the shadows. Let them see you. not performance now, but like let them see the work that you're doing and let everybody be able to vouch for you and say, oh, this guy, he knows his work. And then that way, you don't know who is going to like talk about you tomorrow. Somebody has given me a job based on the fact that we work together and they felt my impact and they told me, ah, no, this guy is good. And I got a job off that. I didn't apply, right? So you should do the same thing too. So, and I feel like, yeah, that's going to like work out for anybody, no matter who you are.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with someone else you think might find it helpful. Also, we'd love if you could leave us a rating on our channel. And don't forget to subscribe to stay updated for our next episode.